Of the Hebraic world, it's the holiest day of the year. Today we're going to bless the children first because we're not going to have a time of worship the way we typically do. It'll be a time of soaking, a time of prayer. So if we could call the children forward first. David, if you could ask them to come forward, we're going to do a blessing over the children and get started. Kids, we lift you up today on this holy day, Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. And we just ask that the Father would bless you and teach you His ways. We ask that the Father would instruct you and teach you through your parents how holy His holidays are. And how holy that He has asked us to be set apart and to be like Him. We pray that you would learn from the Torah and from the instructions in the Bible that it's a joy and an honor to follow the King of Kings. That it's not difficult. It just requires a heart that is sold out for Him. So we ask protection over you as we go into this service. We ask protection over you throughout the week as you go and do your normal stuff with school and with the children in your neighborhoods. We pray that you're a light to them and that as you grow and you mature and you learn about God's holy days, you'll be able to share them with your friends and those that God puts in your path. We ask for your blessing over the parents, that they would have the diligence to teach these children the ways of God, even when it's difficult, even when it's a challenge in the community we live in. That our hearts would be to teach these children how they can come into right relationship with the Creator of the universe through Yeshua, Messiah, His Son. So, Father, we ask your blessing over these kids on this special high holy day. Bless them and go with them. Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen. We want to welcome you to our Yom Kippur service. This service will not be a traditional service that you may have encountered in your past in the synagogue, but it will have some elements that will remind you of those days. It's not that we've tried to change it completely, but we've tried to recognize the fact that Yeshua has died, has paid the price for our sins, and we are already redeemed when we receive that sacrifice. This service will have 20 to 25 minutes of soaking music to begin. We've widened the rows just a little bit. Get before the Creator however He leads you to get before Him. If it's on your knees, get on your knees. If it's sitting in your chair and just crying out to Him, that's what you should do. If you'd like to lay prostrate, you've got the front or the back of the sanctuary to do so. But this is a time for us to go before Him in the waning hours of Yom Kippur and ask for forgiveness. Thank Him for the blessing He has given us in His Son Yeshua. And recognize there's much more work to be done in His kingdom. So April, if you would open us up with the soaking music. First blessing is a blessing over the study of Torah. Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzavanu la'asak b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehovah our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commanded us to engage in the words of Torah. Since I can't sing, will some singers start us in the Shema? April?
Shema Israel, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad.
Blessed be the name of His glorious kingdom forever and ever. Amen.
and everyone will recite the V'ahavta, Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9.
You shall love Jehovah your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Jehovah, and the Word was Jehovah. And the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No man hath seen Jehovah at any time, only the begotten Son, which is the bosom of the Father. He hath declared him. All will recite together Avinu Malkeinu. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, we have sinned before you. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, bring us back to you in full repentance. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, forgive and pardon all of our misdeeds and our sins. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, have compassion on our children and us. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, make an end to sickness, war, and famine. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, inscribe us for blessing in your good life. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, help us to exalt your name, your glory, your reputation in the world. You may be seated. David Childers, would you come up and do the first reading, please?
Our first reading is from Leviticus chapter 16. Now Jehovah spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before Jehovah and died. And Jehovah said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother not to come out at just any time into the holy place inside the veil, before the mercy seat which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering, and of a ram as a burnt offering. He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with a linen sash, and with a linen turban he shall be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats as a sin offering, and one ram as a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the two goats and present them before Jehovah at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for Jehovah and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the scapegoat on which Jehovah's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell, And Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for Jehovah and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which Jehovah's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot failed to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before Jehovah to make atonement upon it and to let it go out as a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself. Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before Jehovah, with his hands full of sweet incense, beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense on the fire before Jehovah, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. He shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side, and before the mercy seat he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people. bring his blood inside the veil, do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. So he shall make atonement for the holy place, because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions, for all their sins, and so that he shall do for the tabernacle of meeting which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. There shall be no man in the tabernacle of meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place, until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. And he shall go out to the altar that is before Jehovah, and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat, and put it on the horns of the altar all around. Then he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger 7 times, cleanse it, and consecrate it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. Then Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of meeting, shall take off the linen garments which he had put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his body with water in a holy place, put on his garments, come out and offer his burnt offering and burnt offering of the people, and make atonement for himself and for the people. The fat of the sin offering he shall burn on the altar. And he who released the goat as a scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may come into the camp. The bull for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be carried outside the camp, and they shall burn it in the fire, their skins, their flesh, and their offal. Then he who burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterwards he may come into the camp. This shall be a statute forever for you. In the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on that day the priest shall make atonement for you, to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before Jehovah. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, and you shall afflict your souls. It is a statute forever. And the priest who is anointed and consecrated to minister as priest in his father's place shall make atonement, and put on the linen clothes, the holy garments. He shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary, and shall make atonement for the tabernacle of meeting and for the altar. And he shall make atonement for the priest and for all the people of the assembly. This shall be an everlasting statute for you, to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as Jehovah commanded Moses. Blessed be Jehovah, who has made a way for us to be reconciled to him and prescribe atonement for his children, Israel. Amen. Amen.
For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Praise be to Jehovah, who has given us the ultimate sacrifice in his Son, Yeshua the Messiah, who shed his righteous blood for the remissions of our sin. Also, the 10th day of the 7th month shall be the day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation to you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to Jehovah. And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make atonement for you before Jehovah your God. For any person who is not afflicted in soul on that same day shall be cut off from his people. And any person who does any work on that same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls on the 9th day of the month at evening. From evening to evening you shall celebrate your Sabbath. Blessed be Jehovah, creator of heaven and earth, who has given us the blessings of his holy days and sanctified his Sabbaths.
Hebrews 9:19-28. After Moshe had proclaimed every command of the Torah to all the people, he took the blood of the calves and some water and used scarlet wool and hyssop to sprinkle both the scroll itself and all the people. And he said, "This is the blood of the covenant which Yah has ordained to you." Likewise, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the things used in its ceremonies. In fact, according to the Torah, almost everything is purified with blood. Indeed, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Now this is how the copies of the heavenly things had been to be purified. But the heavenly things themselves require better sacrifices than these. For the Messiah has entered a holiest place, which is not man-made and merely a copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, in order to appear now on our behalf in the very presence of Yah. Further, he did not enter heaven to offer himself over and over again, like the high priest who enters the holiest place year after year with blood that is not his own. For then he would have to suffer death many times, from the founding of the universe on. But as it is, he has appeared once at the end of the ages in order to do away with sin through the sacrifice of himself. Just as human beings have to die once, but after this comes judgment, so also the Messiah, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to deliver those who are eagerly awaiting for him. Praise be to Yahweh, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for providing us for the high priest forever in Yeshua Messiah. Amen.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you, gentlemen. The first two passages that were read, it gives the biblical instructions for Yom Kippur. They're outlined in the Torah. In the last passage, refers to the fulfillment that Yeshua Messiah had in becoming our high priest in heaven. Sadly, it's not a day that was done away with when Yeshua fulfilled this. It's just a day that was made more complete because we no longer have to come and have sacrifices presented year after year for sins. Today, Yom Kippur is a remembrance, a call to repent, a call to search our hearts and our souls. Call to be thankful for what God has given us, but a call to cry out for our brothers and sisters around the globe who are still in darkness, who haven't had the scales removed from their eyes. The scriptures tell us clearly that neither Jehovah nor Yeshua can change. However, the process of atonement did change. There's still the process of repentance that's required to receive that forgiveness. But the sacrifice and the atonement process did change when Yeshua took his role in heaven as our high priest. In order to better explain, just a brief explanation, if you will, of what Yom Kippur is all about, we're going to reread Leviticus 23, just verse 28. And it says, "And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the day of atonement, to make atonement before you, or before Jehovah your God." The Day of Atonement uses the Hebrew word Kippur, Yom Kippur. The second atonement used in most of your English Bibles is the Hebrew word Kafar. Slightly different, but they use the same root word. The Orthodox Jewish Bible renders it as Kippurah, another different Jewish word, but it's the same exact root word. If you take a look at the Hebraic meaning of the word kafar, it means to cover over, to pacify, to propitiate, to be covered. It's the same word, root word, that's used in the word kippah. A kippah doesn't remove your head, it covers your head. The sins of the people in the Old Testament were covered over at Yom Kippur so that they could be in right relationship with God. But the sad reality is that in America, we're taught that the Hebrew people and the ancient Israelites and the Jewish people all believed that keeping the Torah was their way of salvation. It's what I was taught. It's what the vast majority of you were taught. I don't believe that any Jewish person or Israelite back in that day believed that. And I think the good majority of them understand that today. Because they knew and understood the scriptures way better than we may ever get to know them. And they knew that the coming future Messiah was going to remove sins completely from them. Sad part is they just didn't recognize him when he came 2,000 years ago. But when we understand that Yom Kippur was about a covering of sin until the Messiah could completely take it away, when we understand a little bit more about the depth of Yom Kippur, then it's a little easier to read the book of Hebrews. Because if we're all honest with ourselves, it's a very challenging book, especially when we're new to the walk. We're going to read just a little bit in Hebrews chapter 10, verses starting in verse 1, because we want to understand what the writer is saying here. And he says, "For the Torah has in it a shadow of the good things to come, but not the actual manifestations of the originals. Therefore, it can never, by means of the same sacrifices repeated endlessly, year after year, bring to goal those who approach the holy place to offer them. Otherwise, wouldn't the offering of those sacrifices have ceased? For if the people performing the service had been cleansed once and for all, they would no longer have had sins on their conscience. No, it is quite the contrary. In these sacrifices is a reminder of sins, year after year. For it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins." This was a very challenging part of the scriptures for 25 years of my Christian walk. If it's impossible for animal sacrifices to take away sins, then we have to understand what they do. And what they did was provided you in right standing with the Father. They covered over your sins, hid them from his eyes, so to speak, so that you could come into right relationship, so that you could come to the temple and do your service. They would all be coming to the temple 5 days later on Tishri 15. But sadly, when you have a relationship with a Jewish man or woman that needs to know about Messiah, you need to understand this. When we're trying to witness to them, we have to understand what we're talking about. Why is there such a disconnect in the way the Christians and the Jewish people have thought throughout the years? It's why most of my Jewish friends in South Florida don't want to speak to me anymore, because they're so confused. They don't know what to make of me. And I don't say that to get a chuckle out of you. I say that because it's sad. I wish them happy holidays now, the holy days, and they won't even respond to my emails anymore. Because I'm a Gentile in their eyes. I'm a dog. I'm somebody unworthy of the covenant that they have. Hebrews chapter 11 lists a long line of men and women who are justified by faith. These are Old Testament men and women. They knew this back in that day and time. Sadly, we're just not taught it today. We need to understand that Yeshua provided the once and for all sacrifice for our sins, but it never eliminated the need for us to come before the Father and repent when we do sin. Yom Kippur is still for us today because today we need to repent. It's the 10 days of Teshuva culminating where we should have been examining ourselves, hopefully making right any wrongs that you may have done throughout the year. It's a time to repent, but it's also a time to be in unity with our brothers and sisters around the globe. The scriptures call for us to be holy as the Lord is holy. Now, Peter wrote that in the New Testament, but he's quoting from the Old Testament. Holy means to be set apart, sanctified by his word. And the only way you can do that, you and I can do that today in our day and age, in the world we live in, is to be filled with the Spirit, filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. It's simply impossible for us to walk a holy life in this mess without God's Spirit living inside of us. But with his Spirit in us, we can do all things through Messiah. Amen. One of the main points on Yom Kippur, for those who have already received the redemption in Yeshua Messiah, you already recognize what he's doing for us in the heavenlies, is that we can be praying for our fellow brothers and sisters. Maybe they were family members. Maybe they're people that you used to go to church with. Maybe they're just people you've met over the years that need the Messiah. It's time for us to be in prayer for those people. Every day, but this day especially. It's a day of remembrance. We must remember in our arrogance that we too once had scales on our eyes. Unless you're holier than I am, I had scales on my eyes at one time, and there were few people that reached the arrogance level that I had reached. It's a time for us to be praying for those people that we care about, and even the people that are perceived as our enemies, for God to remove the scales from their eyes. In a few moments when we start the story of Jonah, we will see that this is a people Jonah did not want to see saved. We better be careful that we don't have that same attitude. As we're going to go into prayer for our brothers and sisters around the globe and for each of us, I've asked Elling if he would come up and offer up a prayer for the worldwide believers and the future people who are coming to the Messiah. Because in John 17, when Yeshua prayed, he prayed for all the disciples with him and those in the future that would come into the faith. So Elling, if you'd come forward, please.
Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we thank you today for keeping your covenant you made with our patriarchs. It is sobering to recognize that we can only stand here because of this covenant. You set your appointed times as rehearsals for our benefit. Today we are called to you for a national day of repentance for Israel. First, we cannot complete our personal repentance until you cleanse us. In our exile, all we have to do is turn on the TV for a second and you see the latest news of the United States and you recognize it is a perverse generation just like the rest of the world. We have an election for a president where one will be selected to speak on behalf of us and lead us, yet many may be repulsed to claim them. Forgive our country for killing the unborn and all the perverted deeds that line up with Shaul's list that he concludes these will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Forgive our country for we make treaties of peace with the foremost enemies of Israel. Father, we pray for our land of the U.S. and the land of Israel, our inheritance, as your remnant people. It is not the concocted global warming of liberal and UN climate change we fear, but we fear you, Yahweh. Forgive us individually, cleanse us, create that new heart in us to walk in your ways and love our brethren, so your anger will not hot wax against us. We earnestly pray together on your feast of Yom Kippur, in the Song of Moses that we study at this time of year with all our brethren, Jewish and those who have come from Gentile roots. Your portion is your people of Jacob's allotted heritage, the apple of your eye. Keep us humble that we are not a people that grow fat from the riches of this world, for which you will hide your face. Let our Torah study, prayers, keeping of your feasts, allow us to watch and pray so we can discern the latter end, as it says in Deuteronomy 32:29. In Deuteronomy 32:26, Yahweh, you say you will vindicate your people and have compassion on your servants when you see that our strength is gone and there is none remaining. bond or free. This is the call for your son Yeshua to save Israel and your people. Forgive us for not praying diligently for the peace of Jerusalem as we are commanded in Psalms 122:6. Moshe seems to be telling us the final Yom Kippur will be when the people's power is gone and there is no hope. Torah followers are few, and Israel cries out in abject poverty, a time when the world will betray us. Yet Yeshua says in Matthew 5:26 and 27, agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. The judge hand you over to the officer, and you will be thrown in prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. That's the pruta. Yes, we will have trials and tribulation, but Yeshua paid the price for all mankind. Let your portion, your people, Shema and hear and obey. Yeshua will rescue Israel, redeem us, and lead all of us. Father, clean us to walk as your upright, your Yeshurun, your bondservants to bring the true gospel to a dying world and eventually be your priest in the millennial reign. And we will glory after fulfillment of your feast, as you have said. And it shall come to pass that from new moon, one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh will come to worship before me. Praise, honor, and glory be to our Holy Father. Amen.
The story of Jonah is a traditional Yom Kippur message, and we are going to talk about that tonight, but we're not going to read the entire four chapters. Many of us, if not most of us, have run from God at some point in our past. Many of us, if you're like me, have run from God many, many times in our past. Jonah clearly knew what God had called him to do. There is no mistake. Jonah wanted what Jonah wanted, and he had no desire to do what God wanted in this particular circumstance. We are not much different quite often. We're so eager to see things done our way that often we misjudge what God is trying to do in us or what he's asking us to do his way. And it's something I think we can learn from, because we're supposed to be patient in waiting upon the Lord, but it's one of the hardest things for us to do. And I don't want to make this an America thing, but it's just the way we're brought up here. We want things now. We want things quickly. We don't want to wait for anything. We can't even wait for an answer to get home because we can look it up on our phones today, this second. We've become a very impatient generation. How many of us, when we know God's asked us to do something, take off and hide? That's what Jonah did. Says Jonah 4:2, it says he complained to Jehovah about it, and he said, didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Jehovah? That's why I ran away to Tarshish. So let's get a perspective. Jonah is a Israelite. He's a prophet from a town called Gath-Hepher, which is very near to Nazareth, northern part of Israel. And he's instructed to go 600 miles away to the north east to a city called Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. And Assyria is the enemy of Israel. Had been for many, many generations. Nineveh had a reputation that Jonah knew about. Most likely the vast majority of people all throughout Israel knew about. It was a pagan city full of corruption. And Jonah says, instead of taking a 600-mile journey to this pagan city that God's asked me to, I'm going to take a 2,000-plus-mile journey to Tarshish by boat. And the reason we're not reading it all is because most of you have read it many, many times and you know what happened. He was looking upon Nineveh as an enemy, somebody that didn't deserve God's lack of judgment, let's say that. Didn't deserve God to hold back from them. And I don't like to point the finger to other people, but there's been many times when I have said to myself, God, why didn't you pass judgment on those people? Why didn't you allow that hurricane to hit that city? That's such a corrupt, evil, vile city. And in his mercy, he steered it the other way. And I'm left going, why? I don't understand it. At least that's the way I used to think. I used to be. I used to think to myself, I'll make a roadmap of all the places that God needs to destroy. What I was really saying is those cities, in my view, are not worth God saving. This is what Jonah was going through. He knew that the city was full of pagans and they didn't deserve God's mercy. It brings us to a point, who are we to judge who should and shouldn't receive God's mercy? According to the scriptures, it says that God wishes that all would come to the knowledge of truth. Yet we spend a lot of our time figuring out who will and won't. Most of us in this room are willing to share our faith, but we evaluate before we share it. I wonder if they'll listen. No, she's really, you know, out there. She won't listen to me. And we evaluate and we judge. And opportunities quite often can be missed. We just need to learn to be obedient and to share with the people God's told us to share to, no matter how uncomfortable it is, no matter if it takes you out of your little zone where you think you fit in. We have to be willing to step out of our boat and do what the Father's called us to do. Brings us to point number three, which is salvation, as we learn from this story, is only for those who truly repent and turn to Him. This is a story, this is a lesson that I wish I'd have known 30 years ago when I first gave my heart to Jesus. If I'd only known that it required a repentance and a turning away, a complete teshuva to God. If I only knew that it meant I had to learn and understand what God required of me, what He asked of me to do. But going back to chapter 3, which we are going to read, it's the only chapter we're going to read in its entirety if you want to turn over there. We immediately see the heart of the people, and this is, in my humble opinion, the heart of a people who truly are receiving the Word of God. And it says that they responded immediately. So let's read. From verse 1, it says, "Then Jehovah spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver this message I have given you." This time, Jonah obeyed Jehovah's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed." The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his royal throne and took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in burlap and sat on a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city, "No one, not even the animals from your herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet, Jehovah will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us." When Jehovah saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction that he had threatened. Turning from your evil ways. Turn is the Hebrew word shuv. It's where we get the word teshuva, to repent. We've talked about it many times in here, but in Yom Kippur, it's worth talking about it once again. Yeshua, teshuva, means to turn 180 degrees from the direction you're heading. 180 degrees from the sin that you are living in your life. Turn back to God. Turn back to His instructions. To turn back to doing things His way without arguing and trying to justify why it's so difficult here in exile. These people were in a pagan city. for all practical purposes, in exile. Who's Jonah? We don't even know if they knew who this prophet was. We have no idea. He just walks in, starts preaching, and they turn to teshuvah. We need to do the same thing. And Nineveh is a great example for us, because in order to be saved from God's wrath, the destruction that he's laid out for us, things have to happen. Evangelism, or preaching of the word, had to take place. Still does today. Somebody has to speak the word. Now, it can happen when you're reading the word in your own bedroom, but it has to be the word of the living God. Then you have to acknowledge that your lives are full of sin. That's what they had to do. They had to acknowledge that their ways were evil. Next, humbleness takes over. Repentance and true remorse has to happen. There is no forgiveness for sin unless we truly are sorry for it. You can repent and say you're sorry, but are you doing it because you're remorseful or because you got caught? Is it because you truly want to turn back to God? Because this is an option for you. It's not a requirement. God gave you an option. He gave you free will so that you would choose to follow him. He could have made us all robots. He could have made it to where we didn't even think about sin. But he's a loving creator, and he thought, I will give them free will because I want to spend eternity with those who want to spend eternity with me, who want to do things my way. Then what has to happen is prayer and supplication has to go out and up to the Father. And then the miraculous happens. And when those four things happen in order, and it's true in your heart, the next part always follows. God hears the prayers, and he responds. He turns from destroying us by offering us salvation when we come to know Yeshua. If he saved this wicked city that was outside of the covenant through the words of Jonah, how much more will he hear the cries of us when we cry out in repentance to him? We need to become like little children. We need to humble ourselves and realize we know very little at all. We need to drop the arrogance. We need to drop the know-it-all attitude, and we need to humble ourselves like little children. 2 Chronicles 7:12 is something we read quite frequently in here. It says, Jehovah appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the sky so that there is no rain, or if I order the locusts to devour the land, or if I send an epidemic of sickness among my people, then if my people who bear my name, my reputation, my glory, my shame, if my people will humble themselves and pray, they will seek my face and turn from their evil ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Who is it that needs to cry out in repentance to the Creator? Everyone. But more importantly, first of all, if judgments come into the house of the Lord, his people need to cry out. His people need to repent. For the longest time, I never understood what that meant. And now I finally do, for the first time in my life. The people who understand the covenant, that keep the Torah, that believe in Yeshua as the Messiah of Israel and the whole world, those people, most everybody in this room, this scripture is written to you. If you get away from God's covenant, if you get away from his oracles, we need to fall on our knees and we need to repent. Yom Kippur is all about teshuvah. It's all about repentance. If we will seek the face of God, he will show up. He gives us a great promise. He will hear us from heaven. He will forgive our sins, and he will heal our land. I would like to offer up this short prayer over the congregation and others out there, if you'll bow your heads. I acknowledge before you, Jehovah, my God, the God of my fathers, that our life and death are in your hands. I thank you that your Son, Yeshua, Messiah, made atonement for all the errors, the iniquities, and the sins that we have erred and transgressed before you. May you grant us a share in the paradise of your kingdom to come. Our God, the God of our fathers, May our prayers come before you, and do not turn away from our supplication. For we are not so foolish as to declare before you, Jehovah our God, that we are righteous and have never sinned. Indeed, we and our fathers have sinned before you. We have transgressed. We have acted rashly. We have robbed. We have slandered. We are a stubborn and a stiff-necked people, slow to learn. We have strayed from your good precepts, your judgments, and your ordinances. We have strayed from your instructions, and it has not profited us. Lead us back to your Torah, your instructions, your truth, O God of Jacob. Lead us, your children, Israel, in all truth and righteousness, through your Son, Yeshua Messiah, your living word. We ask for mercy and healing over our brothers and sisters in the homeland. Remove the scales from the eyes of Judah, Father, and lead them into your truth. Into your truth, Yeshua, that they may live. Let our future be different from this year forward. Let us hunger and thirst after your righteousness, found only in your instructions, your Torah. Amen. And in Numbers 6, verses 22 through 27, God instructed Moses to tell Aaron and his sons the following. This is how you shall bless the children of Israel. In doing so, the priests, the sons of Aaron, put God's name, his righteousness, his glory, his reputation on the people. That was something that was a great honor for them in those days. It's a great responsibility, because when that name, that glory and reputation is put on you, you're walking as a representative of the King of the universe. Everything people see in you should reflect your Father in heaven. We all want the blessings, but we have to understand that there's things in this life we have to walk out, and those are included in his instructions. So as I speak the Aaronic benediction over you, remember that this was a time that the people treasured, because it was the name and the glory of God being put on the people. There's nothing magical about it. It's just the way God instructed that they blessed the people. Today we offer up this blessing as a part of the priesthood. We ask you to receive it as a child of the Most High God and a son of Israel. Yivarecha ka Yehovah ve'yishmerecha. Ya'er Yehovah panav alecha vihunecha. Yisa Yehovah panav alecha ve'asem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance to you and bring you his peace, his shalom. Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen. I'd like to say the blessing over the bread that we'll receive tonight as Yom Kippur has now closed. Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzei lechem min haaretz. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread, our food, from the earth. Father, we ask you to bless and sanctify the food that we are about to receive as we break fast from this holy day, Yom Kippur. May the heart of your people be to please you and honor you. May the heart of your people be to grow closer to your Son Yeshua each and every day this year. May the heart of your people be to learn your instructions and take pleasure in doing them. In Yeshua's name we come before you. We praise you. Amen. Amen. Amen.